Father, we appreciate your words. We appreciate your law. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies. We return all the glory, all the praises to your holy name, Lord. We give you everything, Lord. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Can you have your wonderful seat? Because songs are just flowing. You see, before you do certain things, I'm just seeing it. So I don't know. I was aware he was going to do that, and a lot of things just happening right now. So, and I'm grateful. That was a good. It shows that you are linking up with me in the spirit. The media team is linking with me in the spirit. So that's wonderful. I don't know how to say this, but I'm happy. And I've always been happy, but I'm more happier. And I will always be more happier. And all of us will be happier and always be more happier in the name of our Lord Jesus. Our teaching today, the topic of our teaching is the voice of God, building your conscience. Can you tell your neighbor, building your conscience? Building your conscience. We know we've been talking about the voice of God and how we can hear in the spirit. We've been discussing that and making some teachings on that and how we can hear from the spirit. And I believe some of us here, our antenna in the spirit has been strengthened and sharpened. Is that correct? Some of us, our realms of operating in the spirit is heightened. Some people now are seeing visions. Some people are understanding certain things. Some people are beginning to know how to follow the inward witness, the knowing of the spirit. Shakali prakuse eredosa. You see, the essence of the body of Christ is to open us up. The Bible said that the essence of the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints. We are to open you up to the dimensions where you hear God for yourself. Because if you hear God for yourself, there are certain things we will not be getting ourselves involved in. You see, life is getting darker, but grace is getting brighter. There are many persons that hear the word of God, and they don't allow the word of God to find rest in their heart. And because of that, that seed is aborted. The very few persons that allow the word of God to find expression in their hearts, I want you to tell you that it might not look like, you know, the word has a way of advertising their people. You see someone that is living in sin, the person is famous, he's popular, people know him, people talk about him or her. Then you that you are begging on God, you find it like you are struggling. It's because you are on this etrem, and this etrem does not like what you are doing. But you see, with persistence, we persevere. And we must come to that point to know that, see, it's either God or nothing. If it is not about Christ, nothing else. We have to come to the point where we have to die to ourselves. We have to come to a point where we have to die. Where we are not longer afraid. You see, I've come to an understanding. The Lord has allowed me to come to an understanding that when you keep walking with Him, a time comes, He brings you to a realm where you are not afraid of anything. Not just because you read it in the Word, but you are not afraid of anything because you just can't fear anymore. Because He has become more real than what you fear. You see, the reason why we still have fear is because God has not become real to us. If God becomes real to you, you have no fear of anything. It was so, you see, something happened after I was praying. When I was praying, the Lord gave me a strange boldness. The Lord gave me a strange boldness. Halibra kusa eledusha. The Lord gave me a strange boldness, and that boldness began to envelop my life. You see, you come to God as a lamb, but when you leave that prayer altar, you become a lion. You see, when you come with all humility. But the moment you begin to pray, the Lord begin to install spirit of boldness in you. And something began to change in you. You came as the lamb. But while you are living His presence, you are living as a lion. And I noticed that after a while, it looks like that thing is fading away. Not like it's actually fading away. That sometimes when it looks like that strength that you came out with in the place of prayer is fading away, all you need to do is go back to that place of prayer and renew it again. It's like your phone. When you're using your phone, the time comes, your phone becomes low. The battery becomes low. Do you throw the phone away? You go back and you recharge it. And whenever your phone is charged, I don't know if you know this, whenever your phone is charged, there is a confidence that comes upon you as a human being. That is phone, and you are. If your phone, you notice that some people, when their phone is down, they are sad. They will be walking up and down with charger, and everybody is upsetting them. Have you ever wondered, one day your phone was down and you plugged your charger and you refused to charge the phone? You became frustrated. Why are you frustrated? Is your life dependent on phone? No. You see, that is how every Christian ought to see themselves, that we are phone and God is the charger. Will I say, let me say the prayer is the charger, then God is the light. Let me not say that God is the charger. So whenever you are down, you go to God. That charger that you are coming with becomes the prayer. When you begin to pray, when you know, the moment you plug your charger and you plug your phone, your charger port, your charger mouth today, your phone port to charge, it doesn't start charging instantly. It takes at least a second or quarter of a second to boot. So when you began to pray, you must allow God to be able to pass that current of electricity, that power through that charger, so that you will begin to charge. Because it is when you are fully charged that you can withstand certain things. Many of you that browse with your phone, you find out that when you are browsing with your phone, when you connect your hotspot to your laptop and you are browsing, your battery begins to drain faster. Is that correct? That is how it is when you are walking in the earth realm and charging certain operation of the demonic one, binding certain operation, you begin to, the power, because of the energy that's coming, you begin to drain yourself. So the best way to use a phone on hotspot is to plug it in power. So that while the laptop is draining the battery through data, the phone is actually still charging. So the best way for you to live a Christian life is to be constantly plugged. Man, even Christianity, and I charge. Today we are talking about building your conscience. We've seen people that hear the word of God. They hear the word of God. They come to church and they cry. They cry, "Oh God, change my life." You see them shedding tears. You are wondering why they are shedding tears. And you have been coming to church. The last time you cried was the time you gave your life to Christ. So you don't know why they are crying. Then you begin to ask God, "Father, give me their body. Let me cry like that." Please, that is a very wrong prayer to pray. You don't know what they are crying of. There are some people that repent every single week, because after they hear the word of God, it pierces their hearts. They go, once they leave this place, they go back to their sinful ways of life. Then when they come back to the word of God, it's like the veil in their eyes is removed, and they begin to shed tears again much more. Then we know there are people that shed tears much more because they want more intimacy with God. But since you can't discern, why ask for the burden that they carry? "Lord, I want to know you better than I know you. Teach me, Lord, to know your way, to know your truth. Lord, I want to know you better than I know. Teach me, Lord, to know your ways, to know your truth." In Jesus' name. See, we're going to teach two powerful teachings, two powerful separate topics today. So I want you to pay high maximum attention to this. So the importance of keeping our conscience pure. It's important that we keep our conscience pure. I told you before that there are three ways God speaks to a man. The inward witness. Is that correct? The inward witness. And which other one? The inward voice. Then which other one? Then the Spirit of God. Is that correct? And we said that God speaks to you in the inward witness. That means the knowing. You don't know how to go to a person. You just know things. There's no voice telling you what to do, but you just know that this thing is right, this thing is not right. You can't explain how you know, but you just know. That is the inward witness. Then we talk about the inward voice. That is the voice of your spirit. We call it the conscience. Your conscience. God speaks to you through your conscience. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit man. we explained that the Holy Ghost does not necessarily, when the Holy Ghost speaks, that the third time, that the third voice, the way God speaks, is through the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, it echoes in your entire body. You will think that you are hearing God from outside. Does that make sense? You will think that you are hearing God from outside, whereas it's not from the outside. Does that make sense? It's like sometimes when we are younger, they say, somebody will just call your name. You turn around and say, who is calling me? And yet there is nobody calling you. You ask your friend, Ibom, I say, Bokwangi. I say, you see, those voices was from within. But you see, when the voice of God speaks, when the voice of the Father, the Spirit of God speaks inside of you, it echoes so loud inside of you. And when it echoes so loud inside of you, you think that the voice was outside. You see, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, so He speaks within you. And most times, the Holy Spirit does not always speak to us directly by His voice. He speaks to us through our spirit man. Because the Holy Ghost is living with our spirit man. We looked at the scripture that explained this thing. So, if you miss the teaching, just get the 1 and 2 and catch up with us. So we talk about our conscience, that we have to learn to purify our conscience. We talk about that it's important that we purify our conscience. You see, our conscience is, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, that the Lord has placed His law in our hearts. So even when we don't know the words of God, the moment we become a Christian, there is a law that is placed in our heart that enables us to choose between right and wrong. Our conscience is what allows us to do what is right. But we come to a certain level that some people have killed their conscience, that their conscience no longer speaks to them. You see, that thing they say is your conscience is what they call the still small voice. You see, whichever voice you listen to more dominates. If you are someone that listens to the negative aspect of what the devil is always saying, the voice of the devil will dominate the voice of God in you. Whatever you pay attention, you become. So if you always listen to negativity, negativity becomes your voice. And the voice of God will now become like a still small voice to you. But when you are conscious of the things of the Spirit, your conscience is pure. You are always doing what you feel. You see, Paul will always say, my conscience and the Holy Ghost bears witness with this. And you see, why is he saying his conscience and the Holy Ghost is bearing witness to what he's saying? He said, make sure you have a clear conscience. He said, let all men worship God with their hands and with clear conscience. They should be free from anger, free from any whatever. You see, it's our conscience that allows us to repent. It's our conscience that allows us to repent. Our conscience is that one thing that pushes us to repentance. When you have offended God, you can't really tell if you have offended God. It's your conscience that allows you to know that, Kai, you have offended. And that conscience is the voice of the real man that you are. That conscience is your real voice. Does that make sense? It's your real voice. So, for example, you stepped on a brother. You see, there are some things you did that you can't remember anymore. It's the Holy Ghost that brings to your memory all that you have done throughout that day. You know, one of the best ways to practice a good Christian life is to sit down. One of the best ways to practice a Christian life is to sit down and prune your conscience. Does that make sense? When you sit down, you begin to prune your conscience. That means when you sit down, you begin to ask the Holy Ghost, how was my day today? How was my life today? And the Holy Ghost begins to say, you see, there was a beggar you saw on the way. You refused to bless that beggar. You should have given that beggar at least 50 naira. Then you say, I'm sorry. He said, there was a brother that you are supposed to have helped that called you on the phone. You didn't pick his call and you didn't return his call. You see, you know that the Holy Ghost can, your conscience can help you to remember things. There are some things you have planned out to do. Some things that you have planned out to do that all of a sudden you are walking. The Holy Ghost bring it to your memory. Your conscience bring it to your memory. Say, I can remember this thing. Sometimes when you sit down and you begin to scan through your life, the Holy Ghost can begin to remind you of your appointments. The thing is that when we are always busy, our conscience does not speak as we are busy. He speaks when you are quiet. Quiet yourself so you can hear Him. He's a gentle spirit. He's the devil that speaks even when you are running. The devil always wants to communicate to you. Even when you can't catch your breath, the devil is speaking loud. That is why if you are very upset now, a voice begins to speak to you out of anger. When you are angry, a voice will say, to show that you are angry, break this thing in front of you. And you find out that you don't have the time to listen to your conscience. The voice is speaking, it says, break that table. That, you see, that voice that is speaking is the flesh, because the flesh can speak. The flesh can speak. Remember, a Christian cannot be possessed. Is that correct? A Christian cannot be possessed, but a Christian can be demonized. Does that make sense? So all of a sudden something is happening. How do you explain this thing that is happening? How do you explain what is happening? You are sitting down and someone just provoked you. You got up. Something says, slap this person. You see, if you answer based on what that first voice say, you'll be sinning against God. But do you notice that after that thing provokes you, if you walk out, a voice will say, walk out. That voice does not speak too much. You can speak once or twice, say, walk out. Then the other one will say, oh boy, Nalayo, they will insult you. When anything that has to do with you is flesh, say, they will insult you. It will look like you are not man enough. It will look like you are not strong. You see, it's talking about you. But that is not the real you. The real you was the one that said, walk away. The one that is speaking now is flesh, because he wants himself to be glorified. The flesh always wants himself to be seen. When they are praying and the cameraman comes to you and you raise your hands and you stop praying so that they will get a good picture of you, that is your flesh. That is not the spirit praying. That is the flesh. You went to Watchtower Prayer Network Facebook and you didn't see your picture there as someone that was praying, that you're supposed to, you're a member of the church. You didn't see your picture uploaded and you got offended. That is your flesh speaking. The flesh always wants himself to be exalted. The flesh always wants himself to be glorified. The flesh always wants everything about him to be heard. So in that anger issue, if you notice that voice that said walk out and you just walk out, after 5 minutes that anger dies in you. When you come back to the person, you don't see that anger again. So what was speaking that first time was never the spirit of God. It was the voice of your flesh, the voice of the enemy. This flesh does not want anything about the spirit to be heard. Do you know the reason why when we are praying, we begin to walk up and down, and while we are praying, we are doing our hand this way? It's not because we can't pray quietly and God will hear. If you pray quietly, God will still hear you. It's not by shouting that God hears. But you see, the Bible said that the flesh and the spirit are constantly at war. So when we are praying, the flesh wants to sit down. The flesh will say, sit down. It is not by shouting that you sit. The flesh will say, it's not by praying loud. Pray, whisper small. You start whispering. The flesh can even advise you to kneel down. You will kneel down. Then the flesh can even advise you to bow down, that God is here. Bow down. You bow down. From there you sleep. It's the flesh. So when you are praying and the flesh begins to say, sit down, you don't know, I don't want to sit, I want to pray like this. So what you are doing is that your spirit is warfaring, but the flesh is not. So when you begin to pray and you begin to move, you are making the flesh to obey what the spirit is doing in the realm of the spirit. So you are calling forth what is happening in the spirit into the flesh. That's why sometimes you pray, your body is tired, but there is still energy to pray. You see, it's not, the spirit can never sleep. So whatever sleep in you is the flesh. When you are praying and you are feeling sleepy, it's the flesh sleeping, not the spirit. The spirit can't sleep. It's the spirit. If the spirit of a man can sleep, then that means God can sleep too. Because we are made in the image of Christ, the image of God. Does that make sense? So we have to understand the place of our conscience. If you work closely with your conscience, your good. Now I'm trying to teach you how to build it. If you work closely with your conscience, your true conscience as a believer, you see, you will excel in life so sweet. You see, God wants to speak to you over every little thing. You see, that extra plate you ordered while you are eating food, it might be the flesh that ate the next plate, that the first plate was the spirit that ate it. There are some times I will wake up. It's not my day of fasting. I will just wake up in the morning, and I know there are some good, you know, edibles in the fridge that mommy could just bring out and evre le sufra la sika and serve. And on getting upon that food, the veins in the body will begin to straighten themselves by themselves. And it will be like an anointing has come upon you, because she didn't just cook it in the cooking way. She cook it through the leading of the Spirit of the living God. And the moment the food is dished and served, I don't know which language you like, dish or serve. I don't know, you know, we that we have been there sometimes, you know, if you are outside of the state, you have traveled out of the country. You can, if others are traveling out of the country, you can travel out of the states. The only difference is where you entered. Praise the Lord Jesus. And the moment I take that spoon to just, and the Spirit of God will say, no, don't eat. The conscience is saying, don't eat. The flesh is saying, don't allow the food to spoil. The flesh will begin to whisper that mommy might be upset that you didn't eat. But the Spirit is saying, don't eat. Now, the flesh will begin to quote scriptures that man is not defined by what he eats. That is the flesh speaking. Then you have to tell the flesh that, for man shall not live by bread alone. Then the flesh will not speak that it is by grace that we are saved. Then you speak back to the flesh that it is by the leading of the Spirit that we are children and sons of God. You see, it's the flesh versus the Spirit. But you see, if you continue in that conversation, the flesh will win because the food is in front of you. So the best thing to do is to stand up, and you leave such meal, and 12 o'clock you are asking the Holy Ghost, why won't I want to eat food? You are not finding peace to eat. And before you know it, somebody comes with a challenge. That it's only in that prayer, in that fasting state, that that demon can leave. Because some go not out except through fasting and praying. And you say, oh, this is why. Because at even you have eaten, you will be heavy. And when that demon comes, you can't settle or save that person. You see, he is the Spirit that knows it all and have seen it all. You are only walking in line with what he has seen. Don't try to see by yourself. Allow he that has seen it all to guide you. So sometimes you are eating. There was a day I ate food. I said, mommy, I think I need to be delivered from the spirit of gluten. Because whenever I'm done fasting, I'll just be ordering. Now, what am I trying to explain to you now? You come to a place, you are eating food. You order the first meal, you eat. You eat to your satisfaction. But something begins to say, order more. You see, God wants to speak to you even in that little thing that you are ordering. You see, the voice of God, your conscience, that God wants to speak through it. He wants to speak to everything you are doing. Even the jokes you laugh about. There are some people, I will be watching their jokes on social media, funny jokes, and they crack a joke about God, and I want to laugh. The Spirit says, what is funny? I keep quiet. He says, screw. You see, if you can't listen to him in little things like this, he can't speak to you in big things. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. There are ways that seems like they are right ways to man. There are ways that sees right, that man is saying that this is the right path to follow, but at end of, you see, you might go to a place because you have, let me use this, you have a particular gift or talent. For example, a singer, you know you can sing, you have the best voice, and when you enter that studio, you want to sing. And the Spirit of God can speak to you. He said, on what account are you trying to sing? Is it on my leading or because you have a good voice? If it is because you have a good voice, you see, that whole album is by flesh, not by the Spirit. But if it is by the Spirit that beckons in you, then when you release one album, it enters into the heart of men, even without money to promote that album. Because it is governed by the Spirit. Someone said the Lord has called him for ministry. Chatted me up. Said the Lord has called him for ministry, to start ministry, but he's waiting for money. I said that is not how the ministry of God works. When the Lord has told you to move, you don't wait for money to come, you move. It's in the moving that everything is provided, not in the staying. You can stay there for 10 years. Because God is the God of faith. Devil is the person that gives you so that you see with your eye. God walks by faith. So it's important that we listen to our conscience. There are some persons that your conscience has at the point told you to test that person, but you refuse to test that person because the person was the one that offended you. You see, if you can't obey that little test message, I don't know how God wants to work with you. Then when you come in a gathering, you want to show yourself that you are anointed. How did we get there? Sometimes you wake up in the morning, the dealing of God can start with washing of plates. You can say, yes, is your younger brother supposed to wash plates? Say, go and wash the plate. And you begin to tell God, how can I be washing the plates when I have two younger brothers? He said, wash the plates. You don't know that it's in that washing of plate that your two brothers will understand the leading of the Spirit. That how come big brother is washing the plate? You tell him, the Lord says, I'm not washing because of you people. I'm washing because God told me. And he said, oh, God can tell someone to do such. You are implanting in them, you are planting in them the seed of believing and faith and walking with God. Consciously, without you knowing it. You see, is that thing you feel you are too big to do is what God always wants you to do. I was praying one day in a place, a very dirty land, a very dirty ground. And I knelt down, I was praying. I was wearing a shirt, so the sand on that place was not friendly. And the Lord looked at me and said, can you lie down before me? I didn't want to believe it was God speaking. I said, the kneeling down is okay enough, it's okay, it has shown humility. And the Lord spoke again. You know how to lie down and stuck in your head. I just and stuck in my head. Then he said, stand. He said, that prayer you are praying, I've answered it now. You see, the whole prayer I prayed. You see, what caused the answering of that prayer to come was the little obedience of lying down. Not the hours I spent. Is that little obedience? You see, the sin of disobedience is rebellion, right? And that is equal to what? Witchcraft. He said, if you love me, obey me. One of the signs to know that you are walking with God is obedience. Important. This is important. How to keep our conscience pure. Why it is important to keep our conscience pure? Why is it important to keep our conscience pure? Number one, it helps us to serve God in truth and in spirit. Because if your conscience is pure, when you come before God, you come blameless and spotless. And see, if your conscience is always pure before God, you are not afraid of death, you're not afraid of anything in this life. You become untouchable. Because your conscience is bearing witness with your spirit that you are in line with the Father. You know, you see, some people, there was a scripture I was reading, I think that's the book of Titus. I believe it's the book of Titus. He says something important that, you see, you don't just reject God by saying, Lord, I reject you. The way of your living can reject God. The way of your living. It should be Titus chapter 1. I think in that book, chapter 1, he explained it. I don't know, I'll get the verse. I think I posted it online. The way of your living is the way you live your life. And in order for you to live your life the right way, your conscience has to be pure and purified. There are so many things that we Christians have failed to understand. We are forgetting so many important things in our life. While you are sitting down, the Spirit of God begins to speak to you. Sometimes they are not worshiping, you know. The Spirit will say, stand up. And you are saying, how can I stand up in front of everybody? That is your conscience is speaking. Say, stand up. Raise your hand and worship me here. And you're like, excuse me, they're not worshiping, you know. Do you know you can be sitting down here now and hearing a song in your spirit, and you begin to dance it, and yet nobody's playing the song? You see, when you begin to hear songs flow through your heart, so see, if you sleep 1 week and you wake up without a song in your heart, a Christian song in your heart, you need to go for checkup in the spirit. Because he will put his melody in your heart. You know, sometimes I don't know about you, but sometimes I wake up with a song. I might not know it. Thank God that mommy knows almost all the songs. I don't think there's any song I can sing that she doesn't know. All I need to do is start the beginning, she will complete it for me. Those songs are important. It's a way of checking the health of your heart. The heart here is your spirit man. How healthy are you in the spirit? So when your conscience is pure, it enables you to serve God in truth and in spirit. If a native daughter stands here now and say, young man, I will deal with you, the first thing that happens is that your conscience begins to search. You see, whenever you are praying, the accuser of the brethren comes. If a native daughter come here now and say, I will deal with you, and you say, you can't do anything. You see, there is a thermometer that is in your spirit that will check and say, last night you fornicated, you can't stand before this man. A thermometer, a pin will speak. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Have you ever come before God and while you are praying, something begins to tell you that this your prayer cannot be heard though? That you see yesterday, but you insulted someone. How can you ask God to bless you when you fought yesterday? You slapped that lady yesterday. Yesterday you are planning something. That is why before we come before God, when we come in front of him, when we come before his presence, we first of all repent of all known sin and unknown sins, so that when we enter into his court, the accuser cannot judge us of anything. Because if he comes to speak, we said we have repented and we have received forgiveness. Somebody told me something. The young man said, he said, man of God, after praying in tongue, I feel depressed. I said, it's impossible. How can you pray in tongue and feel depressed? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, he only comes in his presence and begins to pray in the spirit. So his spirit is edified, but his soul is not edified. And depression lies in your soul, not in your spirit. So I told him, I said, when you come before God, don't just blast in tongues. When you come before God, speak in your understanding and confess your sins in your understanding. Don't say the Holy Ghost is confessing on my behalf. So that your soul will be edified. That's why Paul said, I will pray in tongues and I will pray in my understanding. So that both the spirit, as the spirit is being edified, the soul is also being edified. And whatever controls the soul controls the flesh. So this young man began to repent and begin to confess all his sins to God. He said, after the confessing of sin, not the prayer, after he confessed his sin, the spirit of depression left him. The testimony is online. The spirit of depression left him. He said he has been battling with masturbation and one other thing, but it was through confession that he was let loose. You see, that tongue is powerful, but we are abusing it. We just come and we start rababalega da bele gebele go gaga. You see, you are praying the right way, but there is a way to mount before the Father. There is a way to mount. It's like, for example, you insulted your earthly father and you now come and meet him and say, daddy, I need to go mego. Few minutes ago you just called him a fool and you're asking money. There is a way to approach the gate of heaven. There is a way. There is an ordinance. So one of the importance of having a good pure conscience is that it helps us to serve God in truth and in spirit. Number two, it helps us to be fully used by God. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. If you are there, please read for me. I don't think it's about with me here.
In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver.
Now listen to what he said. In a wealthy home, some spoons and plates. You know, in Nigeria here, how many of you are Nigerian? If you're Nigerian, raise up your hand. Thank you. I know why I'm saying that, because some people doesn't believe they're in Nigeria. In Africa here, so this one, you can't escape this one now. In Africa here, there are always these special plates, this wonderful plate that our parents don't like us to always touch. When you are watching, when you are washing the plate, you are being supervised while washing that plate. How many of you are aware? When you are washing it, your mom is at the back waiting you. Sasai for Afuma. Come on, put on there. Or her raise it. If this thing fall, eh? But if you are washing that stainless plate, nobody cares. Even if you fall, they will just call your name. Emeka. Because that one cannot break. That one is what they use in serving us, those small, small children. But the moment you handle the glass plate, you see, even your father from the room is looking. Then your mother somewhere is with a can holding. That can is to humble you to be patient in washing that. And when you are done washing that plate, there is a different observation of that plate. They look the plate in a certain way. They look it all around. Then if they touch it and it doesn't do... Ooh, you know what I'm saying? I wash plate well, so I know I'm the third child, so I have to. So if it doesn't make that sound, if you do it and it doesn't make that sound, say, oh man, okay, he actually offered me. He didn't raise it well. And that plate does not come out except there is an important visitor. And after you have washed it and hang it and the visitor comes, you still have to rewash it. But the other ones, you just pick it as dry as it is and you put and they put you food. You see, the Bible is saying there are some people that are specially used by God. Shaka. Because they have purified themselves. He said, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions and the cheap ones are for everyday use. Next verse, please. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the master to use for every good work. Next verse, please. Run from anything that stimulates useful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the... Oh, Kalibra Kusa Kalida. Can you go back to that verse 21? He said, if you keep yourself pure, the only way you can know if you are pure is through that conscience. It is the voice of your spirit that allows you to know if you are pure or not. When you become, when you come before the Father, it is the antenna that searches you to know if you are worthy. That's why David says, search me. Search me. A man like David. Search me. Only God knows the kind of love that David had for the Father. For God to say that a man is after his own heart. So sometimes we don't keep ourselves pure. And when we come before God, we expect God to magnify, to use our vessel. How can he? Even if he wants to, he can't. Because we have not purified ourselves. You see, you fail to understand that he's called holy. Holy. If you will serve him, you will serve him in truth and in spirit and in holiness. Holy. There's a song they say, Lord, you are holy. You see what I'm saying? So it helps us to be fully used by God. When our conscience is pure, it helps us to be used by God. You see, let me tell you, something happened. One day I was planning for a program. I didn't know about the program. All of a sudden, it was an emergency for me. And I told God, I said, Father, you see, in truth, I am not the one preaching. I know I didn't prepare any sermon. In truth, I am not the one preaching. You know you are the one that preaches. I'm only a vessel in whom you will use. I'm only a vessel that you will use to preach. You see, I didn't know the program it was today. And I was so busy at the office. The Lord said, it is not you that will minister. It is me. When you go, keep quiet. Let me speak. And while I sat down, I said, okay, what is the topic I'm to teach? I asked them, do you have any topic you want me to teach? Nobody said. I said, Lord, what? He said, start writing. Started writing. When I was done, the topic I was supposed to preach is enough for 3 hours, and that sermon came in less than 30 minutes. And when we went there, his name was glorified. heavily, mightily glorified. And the Lord said, do you know what happened? I said, yes. He said, do you know you didn't fast? I said, yes. So you actually ate good food? I said, yes. He said, but the power is still moving. I said, yeah. He said, it's because it's not you, it's me. Sometimes we think it's because we have studied so much that God has to use us. I'm ready. I read. I'm not saying you should not prepare for messages. No. But even when you are prepared, know that you are vulnerable and you are a nobody. Pride is when you have studied, you have researched for 1 month to preach at one just you have the program coming up and you prepared for 1 month, fasted and prayed and studied and relied on your research. If you enter there, you'll be dry as bone. You become dry gin. Dried. But when you come with all humility and say, oh Lord, I can't do this, I need you. He might change the whole topic you want to teach that day. That whole thing you studied for 1 month, he will say, Emeka, this is not what you're supposed to preach. You say, but what for 1 month I've been praying and you didn't change the topic. He said, this is it. He said, teach them about prayer. He said, how do I start? He said, start from one scripture. You just quote one scripture and the whole thing is downloaded to preach. Why is he doing that? So that you know it's not because of you. But if you don't have a clear conscience, God cannot find enough expression in your life. So we must find a way to purge ourselves in the spirit. Number three, it helps us to avoid offenses. Can we go to the book of Acts 24, verse 16, King James? It helps us to avoid offense before God. Acts 24 verse 16, King James. We'll still come back to NLT, but just give me King James. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and men. Can you give me the NLT now? He said, because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. Clear conscience. So even when you are judging someone, you must judge with a clear conscience, not biased conscience. So that when God looks at you, he knows that you said the truth with a clear conscience. And when men, despite their lying tongue, when they are done speaking, they will go back home and say, Kai, this man is a faithful servant of God. Have you seen something, a situation whereby you did something wrong and your friends came and they're supporting you? They say, Oga, they are supporting you. But later, when they get back home, they say, Oga, what you did? Nah, bros, what you do no good, though. And you're like, I think someone has support me. Say, Oga, now just because we're friend, that's when you do bad. How you go do this kind of thing? And you're wondering, you see, it's not like they didn't know the truth. But they were supporting you to be speaking. Oga, this guy, when you charm, now you be at fault, now you there for fault. And that man might still be feeling like, am I the one that wrong here? The man might even start apologizing. But when you and your friends are going, your friends will tell you that they say, this thing you did, you are at fault. You are the one at fault. You are pressing your phone while driving. What do you expect? Because even them, their conscience will tell them the truth. No one lies without knowing that they lied. Because before you lie, it will pass through the conscience. It's the thermometer that weighs it. Because the conscience also keeps record. He said, because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. Your conscience speaks. How to build your conscience and make it stronger? Number one, study the word of God. How to build your conscience? You see, if you study the word of God, you must choose to obey the word of God. Some people study the word of God, make it just be like I said with the reader. You must choose that the word of God must transform you. Which means anything you see in the word of God that contradicts the kind of life you are living, you must repent of it that instant and allow God to align you back. Does that make sense? How to build your conscience? Number one, study the word of God. Number two, listen to Christian music. You have to be the atmosphere of constantly listening to. Do you know that if you go to, for those in Oka, they will understand this. If you go to Abakaleke Street and you live in Abakaleke Street for 1 month, not even 1 month, let's say you live in Abakaleke, how do they say it? Is it Abakaleke? Abakaliki. If you live in Abakaliki Street, it's a wonderful name, oh, just that they're using it in a bad way here. I don't mean Abakaliki town or city. Oh. There is in Oka, there is a place called Abakaliki Street. They call it the Club Street. Is that what they call it? Club Street. That when you pass, you see all kinds of demons in a human form. You see demons in a human form. And these demons have the ability to communicate. They speak and you hear them. Mm-hmm. So when you are passing through, when you begin to live there, something happens when you start living in such places. You see, when you start living in such places, you see, you begin to conform to them. Their atmosphere will begin to swallow you. Let me tell you something there. You see, while you are fasting and praying, separate from bad friends. You cannot be fasting and praying and following friends that smoke and club, because you are still growing. Even men of God that are so anointed separate themselves. We have been called unto what? Holiness. We are separated. In order for Jacob to change his name, for his name to be changed, he had to separate himself from his family and cross over to the other side. Only then did God appear to him and wrestle with him. If he was with his family, he wouldn't show. There are some journey you have to go alone. There are some journey. You see, in the Christian journey, you must lose friends. In the Christian journey, you must lose friends. I say must. I didn't say you might. It's a must. In the Christian journey, there are times that nobody knows who you are. In a Christian journey, there's a time even the church will look like they are rejecting you. Those are times when men are forged. Some people call it the wilderness experience. You see, let me tell you, that time you are going through that journey, you are not in hell, though. You are actually seated in Christ going through that journey. You see, you are actually seated in Christ. When challenges are coming, they're not coming to you because you're not in Christ. They are coming to you because you are seated in Christ. He said, if this world persecutes me, they will persecute you even more. If this world rejects me, why wouldn't they reject you? Are we getting blessed? So we must build the right atmosphere around us. You can't have 3 girlfriends. The only people you have in your life are 4 people. That is including you now. You also have yourself in your life. And the 3 of them are prostitutes. And you expect... You see, one of the biggest deceptions is why you are there saying, the Lord will help me to change them. You see, if you have not found yourself, you can't change anybody. If you have not saved yourself, you can't save anyone. If you bring a bucket of clean water now, one full bucket of clean water, I don't know the bucket you have in your imagination now, but let me give you a particular bucket. If the size of the bucket is like this, and there is coke, you pour coke inside it, inside that bucket, and you bring clean water, like 3 buckets, and you pour, do you know that that water will still be stained in that color? Do you know? Are you aware? If you bring coke, or any black substance, and pour in a bucket, and you bring 3 of that same bucket size and fill it with clean water and pour all those three buckets of water, purified water, into that, it will still be stained. You see, changing of people's life is not you to change them, it's God that changes them. The Bible said that if your eyes will make you not to make heaven, plug it out. It's better for you to enter heaven with 1 eye than to go to hell with 2 eyes. What are you seeing there? Enter hell with 2 eyes. What is the use of it? You see only fire. Is it to magnify the fire? You enter hell with 2 legs and 2 hands. The devil will give you more work now. So it's better you enter heaven with 1 hand. Even when we know that we can't enter heaven with 1 hand, if we enter, we will have our hands complete. But you see, that friend, the reason why you are close to that friend is because that your friend gives you money. You know his life is not good or her life is not good, but because that your friend helps you financially, that was why you are a Christian but you are still following him. You see, one day that thing you are collecting from him or her will poison you. You need believers around you that when you go through trial experience and you are saying, now my brother, can you imagine the challenge I'm going through? You say, 2014, I went through something like this, but God came out, I came out victorious. You are encouraged. You said, now, brother, do you know things are difficult? You say, oh, but what, 2019, that's what my own do me. At the end, God break me forward. Oh, boy, keep going. We are praying for you. Not one I will say, that's what I'm going to say, look at you. I tell you, man, you can't sleep with our lodge, you know, greed. They do Christian now. They do Christian. Now you go marry yourself. Those people will kill, they are called destiny killers. See, separating from your friends is not an emotional thing. When one is evil, you don't say, I don't know how they will feel. It's a decision. Serving God is not an emotional thing, it's a decision. You must decide to serve God. A man of God, I have been praying. This addiction is there. See, this addiction is because you have not loved God more than that addiction. The day you begin to love God more than that addiction, you won't cheat on God in that addiction. Koinonia. So we must listen to Christian music. Build it around you. Listen to songs that inspires your spirit constantly. You see, every time you are idle, the devil speaks. They said that a lazy man is the devil's workshop. Every time you are idle, the devil comes to speak. So always engage yourself on things of the spirit. Always engage yourself. On social media, someone posts something that does not glorify God, I'm very fast. Pam, 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 unfriend, unfollow. And there's a spirit that will say, if you unfollow them, how will you change them? It's not me that will change them. Holy Ghost will change them. But for now, let me help myself. How can you be climbing a tree and be dragging someone with you? You will never climb there. Because if the person does not want to climb, the person will pull you down. That is one of the mistakes that we Christians have made. That is how most of us are backslidden. We are dragging those that don't want to be saved. Come, you will save, you will save. You say, oh, if you want me to go to your church, see what will happen. I go to your church, you escort me for a birthday party. In your mind, your foolish mind, he said, if I drag and God will win soul now, waiting there, no be only party, they no fit get me. And that was how we lost that person. Because the devil will play a trick. On that day you enter there, your school fees is 15,000. Your father has been having difficulty in raising 15,000. And you are there, you are seeing they are giving girls 25,000 cash. You just remove your clothes and you say, I'm here. Praise the Lord Jesus. Number three, prayer and fasting helps. Prayer and fasting helps you humble. You know, prayer is being humble before God. One of the signs of humility is praying. One of the signs of being humble is praying. Anytime you don't pray, you are showing God that you can sustain yourself. Anytime you wake up, you don't pray, you are showing God that you can take care of yourself for that day. But every single time you come before God and present your situation before God, you are telling God, see, I can't help myself, I need your help. We must learn it, and it will help us to grow in Jesus' name. Number four, gaze upon the holy things of God. Can we go to that same 2 Timothy 2 verse 22, please? 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. You see, I'm finishing here. This is the last... gaze upon the holy things of God. 2 Timothy, yes. He said, run from anything that stimulates useful lust. You know, lust is not just about when you're lusting after a woman. Anything that you love more than God, you are lusting after it. He said, run. You see, whenever they talk about things that have to do with sexual things, lustful, they always say run or flee. They don't ever say walk away. That you don't break them by fasting and praying. The first thing is not to share, oh, Rabagala. No, the first thing is to run out of that place first. The Bible said, run from anything that stimulates. Stimulation has to do with something, kick-starting something. It is not there, it is drawing it. You are watching a video, every 5 minutes, they bring forth a sin that is lustful. The Bible is saying, run. He said, from anything that stimulates your youthful lust. He said, instead, replace it with what? With pursue righteousness living. Pursue it. Force yourself to live a righteous life. Force yourself to intentionally delete all the negative videos on your phone. force yourself to intentionally block that website that you go to watch pornography. Force yourself not to indulge in it. When masturbation comes knocking, force yourself not to do it. When you force yourself not to do it for some time, the door will close. While you are engaging in self-deliverance, you have to keep forcing yourself not to do it. Somebody told me something. Said, as you see, how many of you can eat shit here? You know, shit. Let's use it. How many of you can eat dog shit? I don't want to say your shit because dog shit. You can't eat it, but you can't even imagine it. Is that correct? There are some people that are into Yahoo Yahoo that in order for them to maintain their wealth, they have to eat that kind of thing. Do you know that they never knew that there was a time they would ever eat something like that? That you say you can't do a particular thing now, we never know you. We don't know you. You see, the you are seeing now is not the real you. Lord, I'm holy. No, you see, the you we are seeing, this is not the real you. The real you comes in the next 5 years and in the next 10 years when fame and power has come. That is when we will know who you really are, who you truly are. The you that you are claiming that you are now, that you are light, you are flooded with light, revelation, that as you see me, man of God, I cannot even imagine myself being a homosexual. I can't even imagine myself indulging in sexual. I cannot. You see, that you that you are seeing is the you that have not seen women. I heard a story that Daddy Arome said. He said a minister went to Brazil, went to a place, and he saw a woman. He said, "Kai, kai, kai, kai. If I know there is a place, I would not have married my wife." The minister that invited that minister put that minister on the next flight back to where he was coming from. He didn't know when he said, "Kai, hey, yeah, walala, hey, hey, I don't know that fine girls like this are here. I will not have married my wife." You see, at that moment, it was the spirit of lust speaking through that vessel. And the man that he came to minister in his church was a Puritan. Those people that they purify themselves always. He said, "Young man, the next flight is you going home." So you think that you have seen all the ladies in Anambra State. So you think that no lady can. You see, lust is a spirit, not a person. Have you ever wondered, there are some ladies that are so fine, but yet you don't find yourself attracted to them. Then there are ones that are not fine, but you are seeing yourself attracted to them. Why is that? Lust is an atmosphere that works with human beings. It's an atmosphere. That you say you have mastered. You see, the only way to kill lust is that every single day you yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Because only God knows what you will be in 10 years' time. You say, "God, if you bless me, I will bless your kingdom. If you make me wealthy, I will build here. I will build here. I will lift here." You see, in your heart, you might have searched your heart and believed that you will do it. But the moment the money comes, a new kind of spirit will come and interfere with what you are saying in your spirit. You see, when you are saying that, the devil does not have anything to do with you because you are poor. He keeps quiet. You see, the amount of money that comes to your account attracts certain kind of demons as well. So if 10 million naira comes to your account, the demon that follows 10 million will come to you as well. And that time the Lord will speak to you, "My son, pay your tithe." You say, "We are under grace. We don't tithe." You become one of the students of that man they call Freeze that has frozen. Then you start going online to Google, "Should a man, should a Christian pay tithe?" God punish you or devil punish you. You jam a post that said Christians should not pay tithe. And you agree with that person. And the Lord said, "Remember the promise you have made to my altars. I blessed you because," he said, "that man of God is not popular. That man of God, if I spend money here, nobody will see it. If I come and spend money, his ministry." That was where the Lord answered, and that was where you said, "This man can preach. If God bless me, I will increase him. I will build here." Then you begin to go to a church that never called your name. So that when you donate 10 million, if they call your name, people will know you have arrived. And one day the whole money is gone and you came back to God. Father, and the Lord said, "Look at you. What happened to all the money I gave to you?" He said, "But I used it in your kingdom." He said, "That was not where you made the promise. Some people say, man of God, I pay my tithe. I give it to the orphanage and I give it to beggars. Did the Bible say you should take your tithe to the orphanage and beggars? The tithe belongs to church. Your free will donations can go to the orphanage. The offering you give is an offering, it's a free will giving. Tithe is not the same thing with offering. He said, but I give my offering. It's different. If you don't tithe, you're not under a curse. But if you tithe, you're under a blessing. Does that make sense? Are we getting blessed? He said, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living. We must learn to pursue righteous living. Pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Pursue it. How do you pursue peace? Everywhere you are, you want peace to reign. You don't just say, Father, give me peace, Father, give me peace, Father, give me peace. No. Wherever you are, your intelligence, your everything you have will want peace to reign. When people stay up quarrel, you want peace to reign. Not because your flesh wants it. Your flesh wants that war. Your flesh wants. When was the last? Your flesh is sometimes your flesh will tell. When was the last time you fight? Exercise to know that you are strong. Oh, your flesh have. Oh, you know. Oh, your flesh is still humble. Have you ever gotten to someone is talking? Your flesh say, when last did you fight? Come on, Russia. Chilaja wanya kwanya like this. Say if you put a name, bite him. The flesh. And at the end of the day, you now engage, you are the one that enjoyed the beating. And you call back the flesh. You say it's because you have not been fighting for so long that you need to go back to the street of fighting. Then you now start telling the flesh, awkward. Then you now begin look, you start looking for natural trouble. Have you ever wondered what makes all those Aboro boys? You see one short person will just be challenging someone that he knows that can beat him and beat his father. It's the demon speaking. It's Obokamaka height. You know, sometimes when demons speak, he speaks through people's mouth. They say, forget that you are big. Oh, hey, oh, oh, you see how they do it for Yoruba? Oh, lo, she, oh, why you need? Sorry, I don't know what I'm saying, Yoruba people. I'm sorry. I love you guys. It's just that to insult people, they speak for Yoruba language very well. So, you know, you know, if you push him, he just fall. Just like this, he'll fall. Next thing they say, don't die. Don't keep person. Praise the Lord Jesus. So he said, pursue it. So you have to pursue. So replace it. Everything that stimulates lustful things, avoid it. Then number five, the last one, avoid ungodly people. 2 Timothy 3. Chapter 1. It's going to be a long reading. Avoid ungodly people. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Yes? For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. See, don't be shocked on what is happening on the earth. Now, don't be shocked. The Bible told us about them. He said, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents. That's why everybody has a relation on Facebook. Some of the things you shout deep on Facebook is not actually, it's not even from God. People just read one scripture in the Bible and come out and post something. They didn't complete the scripture. You know, you can't really understand scripture until you read the whole thing through. For people will love only themselves. They will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents. We are seeing children that are very rude to their parents. Some people are even beating their mother and their father. And ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Say, grace has ended it all. Next verse, please. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. That is what is happening. Oh boy, enjoy your life. But this world now to come once and go. That mindset is a selfish mindset. Those who have no self-control. That's why they are raping people, stealing from people, lying to people. They will be cruel and hate what is good. See, he said they will. He's not saying that they might. He said it will happen. It's already happening. They will be cruel and hate what is good. Yes, next verse. These people are believers. So, these are believers I'm talking about. He said they will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed. You heard stories of people that are friends that are poisoning themselves recently. Be reckless, be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They want to go to Bahamas, they want to go to Dubai, they want to flex. They don't have time for God, they want to flex. But when they are poor, when the thing don't strong, they will come to us. After we set them loose, they go back to the world again. We are the loser. Then they spend it in the world. Next verse, please. They will add religious. I told you, they are church people. They attend church services. You see them in church services, you see them in Abakaleke Street. In Oka, Abakaleke Street, so that you don't think it's that Abakaleke. How do we explain that the same person that you saw in church crying, on his way, you saw that person naked on the road? How do we tell people that this person is a church member? How do we explain to our sons and daughters that this woman that you see half naked prays in tongues? How do we explain that this person, you see them on their timeline, they come on their timeline, and they wake up in the morning and say, God, praise be to God. They post on their timeline. The second video, God is great. Then they saw you're hearing God, great and mighty God. Then the next one, you hear. Then you see them, you hear their voice in the background. No, go to her. How do we explain to these people? How do we tell our children that these people are not of God? They are only claiming to be of God. Our children will say, but they are coming to church. People come to church just so that it will look like they come to church. And when demons begin to attack them, they meet the man of God. See what they do now. They start coming to church when they are having difficulties in life. Then when they come two times, they now come, man of God. They always come with a dream. Man of God, I had a dream. In that dream, they were drawing me. I was saying no. They were drawing me. They have drawn them already. They are no longer with us. He said they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Shakala barakusa. Stay away from them. He didn't say draw near to them. He said stay away. Next verse, please. He said they are the kind.